Kevin Williams sitting in for Bob Levy on Topic A. I know this guy doesn't get too many opportunities to sleep late. Today would normally be one of them. But Glenn Carson, if you have followed sports, certainly in the Shore area, is a name familiar to many. He was an outstanding athlete at Southern Regional High School, a decorated football player and state champion wrestler. He certainly had options to his college choices, not only the sports but the schools, many options. He decided to head to Penn State and try and become a part of the great tradition at that school that's been known as Linebacker U. He was a starting middle linebacker for the Nittany Lions this past season, has got a couple of years left, and certainly will make his mark before his days are over. And listen, you obviously know that Penn State has been a big story since the 9th of November for things, unfortunately, besides the game of football, really for all things besides the game of football. And we've heard from so many different people have piped in on this whole subject and this and that. And really the one segment that has not really been heard from all that much have been the players and the impact it's had on them. And when I knew I was hosting this show this week, I thought it'd be a great opportunity if Glenn was willing to just come on and talk about what it's been like for him. So we bring Glenn on this morning amid reports, Glenn. Glenn, first of all, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Kevin?
Glenn, I am just getting word, and you know what took place last night, especially on Twitter. And boy, I hate to be the one to do it, but we are getting word just now that Coach Joe Paterno has passed away. It looks like it is confirmed. Unlike about 12 hours ago, when the Twitter world went crazy, and obviously the stories of the passing were premature. And boy, I certainly didn't want this to happen while you and I were talking. I know you tweeted in last night that you were so thankful for the opportunity to play for Coach Paterno. Were you not?
No, I absolutely am, and I'm just happy to be part of the Penn State tradition, and he kind of welcomed me aboard, and not anyone could be a Penn State football player. He looks hard into your background to see if you have the right material that makes up a Penn State football player, and I was fortunate enough to be one of those guys, and he welcomed me aboard, and I've learned so much from Joe and his coaching staff. And, I'm just happy that he was able to impact my life like he did many others.
Yeah, and as I said to you last night when you did tweet that you become, you're now part of a legacy, a Penn State football player. But despite all that's taken place in the last couple of months, here's a guy well into his 80s who did have an impact on your life, and I would imagine a very positive one.
Absolutely. He molded me from a young high school boy into, I'm still molding into the man that I am today. And, just like the little rules and things, and he kept my life in order and really helped me succeed, not only on the field, but most importantly, academically.
And you found out firsthand, and I don't want to go into detail, but you found out firsthand that at Penn State, it certainly is more about football. There's a lot of life lessons. You dealt with some of those when you first went out there. And while I'm sure it was difficult at the time, I'm sure you would also agree that it's made you a better person today.
Absolutely. This year, our team has faced so much adversity, and it's been such a tough year on, the players and the coaches. And through the whole thing, I think our players reacted better than any other school could have. We stuck together. Those are our brothers. We spend more time with our coaches and our teammates than we do with our family now. It's my new family, and I'm with my brothers, and, we stuck together through this whole thing, and we're going to continue to do that.
We're talking with Glenn Carson, Southern Regional High School graduate, Penn State University student athlete, and unfortunately we're talking with Glenn with the news in the last few minutes that the legendary Joe Paterno has lost his battle to lung cancer and passed away at the age of 85. And Glenn, how much does it bother you that his legacy And all of the positive things that man did for more than six decades has been, in some people's mind, completely wiped out with the incident that has taken place. So what's taken place over the last couple of months?
You know, I don't think you could ever completely wipe out what Joe has done for this university. You know, everywhere you go around campus, Joe has somehow, you know, impacted, especially how much money he put into the library, which is named after him now. And he's done so much for the school. You know, I don't think you could ever completely wipe out, you know, what he's done.
And I think you'll agree, and, you know, you and I are on the same side for different reasons. You know of my feelings about the school. I used to tease you about it when you were a high school football player trying to make that decision. But I don't know if there's ever been anyone who has influenced in the university like Joe Paterno has on Penn State. And people who don't know too much about it can't understand that. You said his imprint is everywhere. Penn State University was pretty much just a state school known for its agriculture until he came along and developed this football program and did it the right way. And, you know, with all that's taken place, I found out on Friday that 61,000 high school seniors have applied to admission to Penn State for next fall, of which about 7,000 will get in. Joe Paterno is the reason why there's 61,000 applications for admittance to that school.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, the man put his entire life into this school, and he always put Penn State before himself, because that was the most important thing to him. And I think he just loved this university. And you know what? The university loves him back.
Yeah, last night when the stories first broke, hundreds of students headed to the statue, the bronze statue of Joe Paterno outside Beaver Stadium, and brought flowers and lit candles. And the one thing I've always said, having a son who graduated there and a daughter who is now a sophomore there, who called me last night crying, is the students have never wavered in their love and admiration for Paterno. Would you agree with that?
I absolutely agree. The students absolutely love Joe, and you know, I hear many stories where people will see him on campus and he'll talk to the students as if he's known them for years. He's just a great guy to be around, and someone that he'll talk to anyone on campus. He just loves the Penn State students, loves the Penn State community, and like I said, he invested his entire life into it and made it what it is today.
Glenn, obviously this whole thing went down in early November in the midst of you guys having a very good season, a season that really surprised a lot of people. It was more than just an interruption. It was obviously had a life of its own. And I'm just wondering, from going back to November, you know, your initial reactions to everything. I mean, was there a time when you even felt like, you know what, you couldn't go on in terms of being at the school and all of those things? Just tell me what your emotions have been over these past couple of months.
Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't even seem real for a very long time. There was a couple days there where, you know, every day it would just get crazier and crazier when you thought that it couldn't get any more bizarre or weird, and it honestly didn't even seem real. And, you know, I'm usually very good at staying focused and, you know, especially when I'm in season and things like that. But, you know, it was hard because you were like, well, what's going to happen to coach? And like, what's going to happen to my position coach? Like, is he going to be here next year? And you're, you know, like I said, we're a family. So seeing how devastated a lot of the coaches were through this, you know, it impacted the players a lot, and it was really hard to stay focused. But I think that, our team did a great job of staying focused and being able to get some wins and continue on playing as a team.
I mean, there had to be a lot of range of motions for you. The game against Nebraska at Beaver Stadium with the spontaneous prayer at midfield and, you know, the students and all of that, to then going on the road and winning at Ohio State. And then, of course, the last two games against Wisconsin and Houston in the bowl game. I almost have to feel, by the time that Houston game ended, you had to be so drained.
Yeah, it was definitely a draining season. And it was such an emotional season. Like I said, it was tough to stay focused, but, you know, our our coaches did an awesome job, even though they weren't sure if they had their jobs still. They continued to work with us and prepare us for these games as if nothing happened, which is unbelievably hard to do. And my heart goes out to those coaches.
Of course, I know you're very close with your family. How important were your mom and dad during this process? You probably maybe even talked to them a little more than normal. I'm sure they were concerned about you.
Absolutely. I'm very close to my family. I talk to my mom about every night, and she was definitely worried about me, and she helped me through it, and just talking to them is very comforting.
Talking with Glenn Carson, Penn State University football player from Manahawkin, and we do this conversation, even though we had planned this out a few days ago, as word comes that Joe Paterno, the legendary football coach at Penn State, humanitarian who did so much for that school and unfortunately has gone through a very difficult couple of months, has passed away this morning at the age of 85 following a relatively short battle with lung cancer. And I can only imagine, Glenn, the funeral for him in State College will be something never seen before.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that it's going to be an unbelievable turnout. Tons of even alumni players coming back. We have such a long list of alumni that's especially on the team that have become so successful because of Joe. The turnout's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, and I would not be the least bit surprised if the school is even closed because it is something that nobody could imagine happening in this fashion, unfortunately. Going back to you, and I do have to ask you the question, with all that had happened, and there's still so much that's unknown, that's the unfortunate thing, the world we live in today, everyone has such a rush of judgment. Had you ever thought about maybe leaving Penn State after this year and transferring out?
No, absolutely not. Once I committed and signed on the line to Penn State, that was my home, and ever since there, I'm loyal to Penn State, and I can't see myself ever leaving.
You do have new coaches for the most part. Two of your coaches, including your position coach, Ron Vanderlinden, is staying at Penn State along with defensive line coach Larry Johnson. But a couple of weeks ago, a new coach was announced, Bill O'Brien, and in a very quick time, he has put together a staff. And I would like to ask you if you've had any chance to talk with either Coach O'Brien or any of the other new coaches and your initial reaction to what you've heard, this very difficult job of O'Brien replacing such a legendary figure.
Yeah, we met O'Brien the Sunday we came back to school, so it was during that Patriots bye week, and he was only able to meet with us with the team for about 45 minutes on Sunday night. And you know what? Everything that man had to say in that meeting, I loved it. I ate it up, and I came out of that squad meeting with goosebumps, and ready to throw my head into another player for him. So I'm pretty excited. I think the team's really excited, and it's going to be a lot of change. It's going to be weird, but that's part of the game of football, and we're just going to have to adapt to it.
And it's also part of the game of life. Let's face it.
Yeah,
you're going to go right. You're going to go through things in your post football days. You're not going to like all of them, but you're going to have to adjust. Correct?
Absolutely. I mean, football is a direct reflection on life. So, all these things that I've been battling this year, it's only going to make me stronger for and set me up for real life situations.
I'm wondering, too, during this whole thing, since the Sandusky story first broke in November, is it something you as players have talked a lot about, or have you really just tried to block that out and deal with the football part and leave it to others to comment on those things?
I would say mostly block it out.
Yeah.
It's just such a tragic thing and an unfortunate thing, there's not much to really say about it. So we kind of just blocked it out and just tried to, make our lives as normal as possible.
Yeah. And you have 2 years left to play at Penn State. What are you majoring in?
I'm majoring in public relations and advertising with a business minor. I hope to pursue like a marketing or sales career.
Right. And I assume you'll probably be in a situation you'll graduate and still have football eligibility left.
Yeah, I'm set to graduate this fall, actually, I think. And then I might try to do some graduate stuff or maybe maybe double major.
Right. But you still have 2 years left to play football. And I would listen, right. And I'm sure in the back of every college player at your level's mind, you would certainly love the opportunity to play in the NFL someday, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, Joe taught us that, you know, academics is the most important thing. And, you know, even if I do have a chance to play in the NFL, you know, the average life expectancy in the NFL is about 3 years. So, I mean, I always want a good job to fall back on afterwards.
Glenn, I'm wondering now, and it's difficult to ask you this because of, you know, the news that's happened the last few minutes, but 20 years, 25 years from now, whatever it is, and you're sitting down talking to your children, what will you tell them about Joseph Vincent Paterno?
I'll just tell them what a magnificent man he was and how he's impacted so many people's lives. And, you know, he taught me, most importantly, that to never give up and to keep fighting and just be the best person you can be and, you know, be there for your family and just be the absolute best person that you could be. And that's basically what, in a nutshell, what Joe taught us.
You have done your family proud, your high school proud, and now your college proud. Look forward to watching number 40 the next couple of years. Thank you so much on a Sunday morning, a difficult Sunday morning, for sharing some thoughts with us.
Thanks, Kevin.
Always a pleasure. Glenn Carson, Penn State University, on with us on a morning in which Joe Paterno has lost that battle to lung cancer at the age of 85. 732-237-9626. We've still got some time left on this Sunday morning to talk about that or anything else you'd like to share with us. Tom from Brick has been on for a little while. So, Tom, thank you very much for being patient. Good morning and welcome to Bob Levy's Topic A.
Yeah, good morning. I didn't want to talk about football, but Paterno is a great coach. But his silence was deafening during that Sandusky period. I don't think he should be so celebrated. But I want to get back to what I originally wanted to talk about, namely the Republican primary between Romney and Newt Gingrich.
Mm-hmm.
I was pulling for Romney because he's an executive. He's a family man, very, very, very smart with regard to finance, and that's what we need today. But after those debates, I don't know. It looks like Newt Gingrich is very convincing. Not only that, he's more decisive than Romney, and he goes right after Obama. He doesn't just mince words. He says he doesn't want to bloody his nose. He wants to knock him out. And that's the kind of talk I want to hear, because Obama is a radical extremist that's ruining this country. And even though he has a nice guy persona, he's very dangerous. We're in $16 trillion of debt right now, and this guy is making it worse. I can't believe the American people would tolerate another 4 years of this guy, because it will be the end of America. You know, more people are not either in tune with this or just naive. What is your opinion on this?
Well, first of all, I cannot see Newt Gingrich winning the Republican nomination. I think, first of all, I don't think he has the financial resources. I know when his victory speech last night in South Carolina, basically the first thing he did was say, if you'd like to donate to my campaign, and he gave his website out because he needs money. I think as time goes on, the baggage he has, which is extensive, will come to the forefront. I do think, honestly, if you're looking to defeat Obama, I think the fact that Gingrich won South Carolina may not be a good thing for you, because it just means that the Republican Party will be divided for a longer period of time. And while I don't think any Republican will win or could win the next election, barring tremendous changes, which is always possible. I do think the key to them having any shot is to get together as a party, and I think it's a party right now that is fractured. You have Gingrich and Romney are very, very far apart in their views, and honestly, if I were a betting man, and I'm not, but if I were a betting man, I'd feel a lot more comfortable betting that Barack Obama will have four more years than any Republican winning in November of 2012.
So you're saying other than the people that will vote for him because they're on entitlements, you know, food stamps, Medicaid, and things of that sort, and unemployment, you're thinking the majority of American people will still vote for him, knowing that we're heading towards a socialist society like Western Europe?
Tom, I happen to think in most cases... I think in most cases on political office on a national level, it's a question of voting for the lesser of two evils. And it's unfortunate, but I do think that is what it will come down to. And I feel very, very strongly that barring a unbelievable or unforeseen change, which could happen in our country, I think that the incumbent president will be reelected for 4 years. And I think part of the problem is the Republican Party is not unified right now.
I think when they're finished with the race, I think they will unify.
Well, we'll see. You know, and that's the other thing, too. Let's be honest. You beat each other's brains in. You say how bad the guy is. Then when he becomes the candidate, you tell everyone how great he is. I think a lot of people have kind of, they've seen through that. No matter how you look at it, the Republicans now are fighting. The Democrats are not. They have a candidate.
Yeah, but it's practice. And also, it doesn't give Obama... Not enough time to really, you know, pinpoint one. The longer the race goes, this primary race, it doesn't give Obama the luxury of being able to pinpoint one person and put out his negative ads.
I guess that's one way you can look at it, and you have.
Okay, thanks a lot for the time.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it. All right, 732-237-9626. If you are just waking up or you're just turning on your radio, you may not have heard within the last 20 or 25 minutes or so, it was announced that Joe Paterno has passed away in State College at the age of 85. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. This is a tough one for me. I certainly wish I wasn't on the radio right now. I'll just leave it at that. Glenn from Waretown is on the line, so let's welcome Glenn in. Good morning. Glenn, good morning.
What did our Joe die of?
Well, he's had lung cancer. It was first announced in the middle of November, and apparently the chemo and the radiation and all of that really took its toll on him. About 10 days ago, he was admitted to the hospital and never did come out. So I would imagine it was a combination of the cancer and maybe the treatment, and not the least of which is maybe the stress and all the stuff he's been dealing with the last couple of months.
You think that the thing that went down with all the, well, whatever happened there, because I don't know anything about it really, except we hear on the radio. Do you think that's his legacy?
Well, you know what? I've been thinking about this a lot, and listen, there is no question that there will always there is a scar from the mess that is associated with the Jerry Sandusky case. I will leave it to the process to determine how much Joe Paterno may have played into that. Certainly, it does seem on the outside that he should have done more. He could have done more. And unfortunately, it will be a black mark in his career. You know, somebody put something on Twitter last night that said 99.9% of his life was wonderful, but the other 0.1% is what he'll be known for. I kind of disagree with that. I do think time does heal a lot of wounds, and I'm not certainly ignoring or not taking into consideration the horrendous acts that have happened and the way the lives of those now young men have been impacted. But I think Joe Paterno has had a positive impact on an incredible number of lives, and to just say that doesn't mean anything anymore, I think is not fair and is almost foolish.
Seems kind of that people are nailing this guy to the cross. Actually, you know, but who knows what anyone would have done in that situation? I mean, when you're thrust upon a situation that you don't have a control of and you're not involved in, I mean, I just feel like a lot of people are throwing rocks at this guy more than they should be. You know, he just seemed to be stuck in a situation. I don't know how I would react.
I don't know
what kind of person. I mean, it's a disgusting situation, and actually, he's innocent going into it, but yet we're making him acting like he's the perpetrator when actually he really had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, and you know what? And I have felt like that for the most part. First of all, none of us. I don't care who you think you are. None of us knows how we would react to something like that unless, because we haven't been through it. It's almost an unprecedented kind of behavior that is just staggering to imagine. So, you know, unless you've been in somebody's shoes, you don't know exactly how they're walking. And the thing that I do agree, and I'm still to some extent perplexed by, is how he has been made out to be the villain when we know, or allegedly, who the villain is. That's the perpetrator of these heinous crimes. And could Joe Paterno have done more? It looks like maybe he could have. But let's go back to the fact that he is not the one who did the crime. But a lot of people have said, well, you know, he's of such high moral character that he should have. And I guess I feel like it's almost the way you do on Monday after a Sunday football game. Boy, it's really easy after the fact to say what should have happened. Until you've been there, I don't think you could know that. But to me, today, at the very least, today should be about celebrating a legacy, not a throwing stones at him.
Well, I just hope that people realize that what would they do if they came home and found out that their son had robbed a bank or did some, what do you want to call it, heinous crime?
Yeah.
It's all about, I don't think the guy deserved to get beat up the way he did because he's an old man at the time. I mean, he died, he said he was 85, and when did these things happen? When he was 65, it was a different world
Actually,
back then. And, you know, maybe back then the culture said it was hush, hush, keep quiet, who knows? But the guy did do a lot of good. And I don't think that you're right. He shouldn't be acting like he was the one that was involved in it. He was actually a bystander. Who really knows?
Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate it.